Welcome to Security Architecture Podcast, where we help cybersecurity professionals to stay ahead of the curve and ensure they are successful in their cybersecurity journey.
Hi, I'm Evgeny.
Hi, I'm Dimitri.
We have here Abhi from Cloud Defense. Can you please tell us about yourself and the company?
Of course. Thank you, Evgeny and Dimitri. My name is Abhi Veldurthy, and I'm the VP of Engineering at Cloud Defense. And Cloud Defense is a holistic security company that provides software solutions for different types of security products, like software composition analysis, SAST, which is static analysis, DAST, and API penetration testing. So we are offering a solution for developers, DevSecOps, and security operations to ensure that their entire organization is secure from build time, which is inception time, to runtime.
Thank you, Abhi. So the first question would be around where your solution fits in the DevOps CI/CD pipeline. So Abhi, can you please elaborate more about where your solution is applicable?
Yeah, so when Cloud Defense had started, we had primarily started focusing on the developers who wanted to secure their software at build time, or we call it shift left time, which is before they check in their code, they wanted to know that the software that they're committing to their Git repos or their source control was secure enough before they actually deployed it. And so we offer a software composition analysis, which is ensuring that the open source libraries that you're using as a developer are secure. And we identify by ensuring that we can build your dependency tree for various languages. We cover at this point over 10 languages for SCA and SAST combined. So we can do software composition analysis for various languages, ensure that the libraries that you're using are secure. And if they're not, we tell you which versions are secure if the fixes are already available. And on the SAST side, we actually support slightly more languages because languages like C and C++ particularly don't have SCA very well established because most people are writing their own software in C particularly. So we provide SAST solutions, which is static analysis of your code for various languages as well. I see the commit PR, which is we integrate with many source control systems like GitLab, GitHub, to ensure that you can set up a GitHub action, for example, where if your code that was checked in does not qualify the standards of the build process that you set up, like I don't want to have more than two critical severity vulnerabilities, then what you can do is we ensure that you fail the build and your check-in will be reverted. So we integrate with most Git-based source control systems. I think the build is also specifically related to it because, for example, we integrate with Azure DevOps. We integrate with different kinds of build pipelines where you can ensure that your QA build is not pushed to your staging environment or your production environment if it fails your build policies that you set up. Yeah, so and basically within the SCA or software composition analysis, we also ensure that we are validating the licenses that you're using as a part of your application. And you can basically set up, you can approve, deny the licenses that you care about. We don't have a static set of them. You can feel free to change your license policies accordingly using our web application. And as you run your scanning on the software composition analysis, our build policies will take license policies and build policies will play effect and ensure that your build succeeds or fails based on what your policy recommendations are. We also do a penetration testing of your web applications and your APIs. Currently, we only support the Open API standard for API penetration testing. And you can essentially run a penetration testing of your application also using the same command line utility that we operate. And we also have an online scanning tool where, for example, if you're not a developer, but you are a organization lead and you want to ensure that the libraries that you are going to approve as a part of your process are secure, and you don't want to check in this code or you don't want to pull the repo to your local, start playing around with it, we have an online tool that allows you to provide a Git repo URL. As long as it's public. If it's private, then you provide Git. We only support GitHub for a private URL where you can authenticate with GitHub, and you can give the Git URL where we validate it before you even clone the project to your local. So we have presence from the development cycle to the DevSecOps cycle to ensure that your code is secure, you know, as a part of your development process, followed by different build pipelines that we integrate with to ensure that your code is being secured at every stage in the pipeline. And you can ensure that it doesn't go to production if there's issues found during your QA process. And followed by configuration of your build policies and license policies. I don't think I touched on the vulnerability analysis. We at Cloud Defense think that we are more of a vulnerability management tool. Because what we do is we not only want to provide a holistic security solution for various languages as a part of the development process, but we also want to make sure that you can see this, a dashboard that allows you to see what are the types of applications that you've scanned. You want to make sure that your overall health of the organization or your team, because we don't think that our users are only developers. They could be team leaders. They could be directors of an organization, and that person could be following 10 different types of code bases, a couple different websites, and a few APIs. We offer a solution that's more holistic for all the types of people and different environments or different phases of the life cycle.
Abhi, I want to build on top of this.
That's right.
So just to understand, you mentioned you started from developers. Who else use the solutions? DevOps, security analysts, describe type of people.
Yeah, that's a great question. So our command line utility is primarily used by the developers because that was the first version that we built, which is, and I can show you that right now if you like. Yeah, so basically what I did is we have a binary called cdefense that you can download from our GitHub or from our web application that if you were to sign up as a customer. Essentially what we have is one binary that can do all types of scans. For example, we do software composition analysis. We can run SAST. Security is a new feature we introduced, which is a combination of SAST and SCA in case, because we noticed that there were developers who don't necessarily know the security terminology. And they just wanted to say, hey, is my code secure or not? I don't care about SAST or SCA or any other type of terminology. And then we have DAST API, which we spoke about briefly. And we have Kubernetes and different kinds of infrastructure scanning as well. So I will show you a very simple scan right now where I have this vulnerable Java project that I just downloaded from GitHub. And what you can run is you can run a binary that says, hey, I just want to run this software composition analysis in this Java project where language is Java and the project name, you know, I just want to create a project name so that I can track it in my application. Let's say I do... you know, security architecture, vulnerable Java. And then I run the scan as a part of this. So one thing that's running behind the, So basically, every time you sign up to our application as a customer, we provide you an API key that will allow you to post these scan results to a dashboard that will allow you to, you know, keep track of all the scans that you've done in the past. And this binary will run the application. And what we do is we are developer friendly. So we also provide you a log of the scan, just in case you want to keep track of what's going on as a part of the scan, because we had a lot of developers tell us that they want to know what's going on within the scan. And sometimes they're pretty capable enough to actually even look at the logs and identify what was going wrong. Because for example, if they give the wrong language for the scan, or they provide a wrong API key. They provide a binary that is not fully built. For example, when we're doing software composition analysis, we need to ensure that Java projects particularly have been built and jars or, you know, whatever the jar, war, or ear files have been generated. That way what happens is that we can actually create the entire dependency tree and find the vulnerabilities within your application. Once the scan is complete, what it will do is it will provide you result summary of the tool. Because I'm running SCA, this is one of our slightly faster source code analysis because you know it's only libraries. If you run SAST for big projects, sometimes it could take a little long time. So we'll get into how the results look after, you know, in a couple of minutes.
Abhi, I have a quick question about it. What operating systems do you support? Right, I can see that you are supporting macOS with this binary. Do you support Windows, Linux?
We offer four different binaries: Mac, We offer it for Linux, we offer it for Windows, and we also offer for Alpine Linux, which is a lighter weight Linux. So these are the four variants that we provide. And software composition analysis runs on your local machine. But for example, SAST, which is security source code analysis, what we do is we actually require you to have Docker containers. You need to have a Docker environment running locally mm-hmm. so that we actually put that, we actually run the scan within the Docker container on a Linux environment, particularly because a source code analysis can be pretty intense. We have to go through, and it was much simpler to actually focus on the actual core of the problem rather than supporting all these languages. And one thing I could highlight is that, a cloud defense solution is holistic. So we actually don't want to necessarily be the market leader in one type of language, one type of scan. SCA is fully in-house built, particularly because it was important for us to identify. We ensure that once the project has been built, we use, we actually go through the dependency tree, identify the entire set of dependencies up to four levels, and then we actually put it out as a dependency report on your command line. And now, for example, you have a few vulnerable packages. For example, we put the vulnerability count of each of them. Let's say there is a fix. We also provide the fixed version for Log4j.
I have a question also about that. In order to get this information, does this binary communicate with your servers using the API key?
That's right. So it's a great question. So we have three different types of lookups that we have. So for certain languages like JavaScript, we actually rely on the NPM registry because NPM does a great job of updating the latest vulnerabilities for JavaScript for Node. For Java, we actually call the OWASP dependency library, which talks to the NVD database. There are, in some cases, like Python, we actually have some in-house, and some we talk to pip and PyPy registries. So it's like a mixed combination of different types of databases that we talk to. But we also have our master database for all of these. As you scan, if you scan something for the first time, and we don't find it, but we find it in the NPM registry, or we find it in PyPy, or we find it in OWASP, which talks to NVD. We also store it in our database to ensure that the next scans are significantly faster. And we also have that data, and we don't have to keep looking up and bombard these other services. And once we identify that, you can actually, it says that at least one critical vulnerability path found. And essentially what happens is now I will go to my dashboard and show you that I just ran this command line utility, and we go now to our dashboard to see that, hey, what happened to the results? Can I actually look at it as a part of the application? Because there are multi types of users that I wanna show you. I ran a scan for the for SCA, but I wanna show you some a SAST scenario where, let's say, you run a scan, you basically can see all the vulnerabilities that were found. Which line was the vulnerability found? What is the type of, for example, this is a CWE 601, which is a redirection to an untrusted site. So we offer, we group our results into CWEs, which have a specific title to ensure that all your vulnerabilities of a certain type are shown in one place. And that way, what happens is you can fix them all together, because most of the time you have the same fix for one type of problem. And so in the same way that I ran an SCA, we can also run a SAST. Once the application is successfully run, we can see that as a part of our application list here. And essentially, we have a very intuitive UI where you can see all the applications. You can see whether you ran different types of scans. For example, Vulnerable Node has SCA and SAST both run. When was it scanned? Let's say API Pet Store has a SAST and API scan, for example. So all of these are grouped by application, because a lot of the developers, let's say I have a web application. I can do a source code analysis or a software composition analysis at development time. I can also run a SAST scan on it as a part of before I deploy it. But after I deploy it to my QA or staging environment, I can run an API test. I can also run a web penetration DAST testing. So you can have four types of testings within the same application. So we group it for you by your application name. Yeah, so that's that kind of a high level of the types of vulnerabilities that we have. And the one thing I want to touch on is when you run the SAST scan for the first time, we also have to download the Docker latest Docker images that are relevant to the scan, because we actually put your code into a Docker container to run the source code scanning. So the first scan tends to be slightly longer. But once you have the latest image from the Docker Hub, then the subsequent scans are much faster.
I have a question. Application security solutions, they aiming to identify and prevent security deficiency and gaps very early in the SDLC process.
That's right.
How do you feel that your solution contributes to that?
I think it's exactly how Cloud Defense started. Firstly, because many developers really honestly hate testing and hate to running all these different types of security tools. And particularly like when I worked in big companies like Amazon and LinkedIn, that was my experience too, because I was working on Java projects. There was another Perl project. There was different types of projects I was working on. I didn't want to look for the best tool that would do static analysis for my project. So Cloud Defense's solution came up with an approach where you can only run the same binary for any language, any source code of any language, then it will give you vulnerabilities in the same format and ensure that all you need to know is what is the problem, what is the fix, or do we know the, if we know the fix, then we will tell you what the fix, the recommended fix is. If not, we recommend you to either migrate away from the the library that you're using, or fix it in a different way by removing the code that you have. And this is kind of, we're trying to make the life of a developer significantly easier by connecting this to your build process. For example, if you're working on a Java project which has a Maven or a Gradle type of a build system, you can include C-Defense as a direct artifact that can be run at build time so that you don't have to really worry about it. As a team lead, you can set up Maven, clean install, C-Defense. Then what happens is your build will also generate vulnerabilities and fail the build if any build policies have been violated. So this allows you to kind of, does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. And, usually based on my discussions with different developers at different levels, usually, it's kind of a necessary evil and I want to deal with it. I want someone else or something else automatically to notify me when things are going sideways, right?
Yeah. And I think it's a very important thing, particularly because if you want to grow as an organization, you want to ensure that you are producing secure software from inception time rather than reacting to flaws or incidents later. The other advantage that we are, even though we say we are developer-first solution, we are not developer-only, particularly because we want to make sure that you produce very high-quality software, which is as secure as it can be, which is, known vulnerabilities have been identified beforehand. However, that doesn't mean we stop there. We want to ensure that, we keep a history of your scans. We want to ensure that in the future, if there's a vulnerability found that was not found at build time, that was not found at development time, we actually start failing the build on your QA pipelines or your build processes, but also ensure that when was this vulnerable code introduced can be tracked by you because we have the history of your commit history, and we have your scan, you have the scan history. And a lot of the companies that we work with, they also want to ensure that they don't give us the source code because they want to maintain security and privacy of their, they have proprietary technologies. So we provide on-prem solutions where we deploy the server on their side and ensure that they can run it and secure it at their speed.
Abhi, you mentioned access, don't want to give code, and storing the data. So what kind of level of access you need and where do you store the data?
Yeah, so I think that depends on the type of solution that you're using. Let's say you're only using our command line utility and you don't want to send any data to our API, our servers. You can essentially run, and I can share my screen real quick and show you the. So basically, we have a dry run feature where if you go to a. So basically, you run Cdefense, you want to run a SAS scan on top of your code. You can append it with a dry run flag to ensure that this is only a dry run. I'm not here to send my data anywhere. I don't want to send this to the cloud defense servers. I want to just make sure that my code is secure, and that's all I want to do. Yes. If you're a developer who wants to not send the data anywhere, we allow you to do that. The second level is a hybrid, actually, that I don't think I need to share for it. I just can explain it. The second level is a hybrid solution where you run a scan and you want to keep a track of the scan history on the Cloud Defense web servers. You're okay to send snippets of your code, or you're okay to send the vulnerability information to our servers. That's the level of access that you can give us. So this is your code that's running on your local machine, and you don't want to give us the code, but you just want to give us the vulnerability information so that you can track it as a history. That's the level number two. The level number three is you are okay with giving us access to your code. You can directly give us the repo URL of your GitHub, GitLab, whatever, and you can run an online scan, which means now we have access to your code. We put this code into a Docker container. We run the scan, put the results back on your dashboard. These are the three levels of access for a SaaS solution that we have. Now, there is another level of security for on-premises solution, which is they want to run the source code on their side. They're within an intranet. All they have to do is do a one-time download of the binary from the Cloud Defense servers. They download the latest Docker images from our Docker Hub, whatever version they want to use. Once that's established, then everything is on-prem. So then they are running the scan locally. They're also uploading this data locally, and they can see that on their web servers within the on-prem deployment itself. So these are like the four types of users that we have with different variations of access.
How does your product align with a framework like OWASP Top 10 or Mitrate Top 25? Can you get some clearly visual reports as if I'm a team lead or I'm a director? I want to see how our product aligns with that.
It's a very good question. So we do actually support tags for OWASP 10 on our application. And I'm trying to find you an example in the meantime. We do support Mitrate Top 25 as well, but we don't visually represent it right now. But we have access to all of the Mitrate 25 and majority of the CVEs from National Vulnerability Database. But and I will find you the example for how we display OWASP Top 10 on our UI.
Is there any architectural diagram that can show us of your product, how it works, what kind of components it includes? Right, yeah. You mentioned SAS, you mentioned the binary. If you have something, it would be great to kind of have a look at it and kind of go through the flow of the data.
Meanwhile, you bringing the document.
Yes.
We would like to switch to open discussion, and maybe if you want to ask us some questions, and maybe we'll ask you other questions as well.
Yeah. I think what I'm very curious to understand is obviously like we met through my CEO Anshu Bansal, and he's been very actively working in the security community to improve, and he's very passionate about ensuring that our product reaches the audience that actually cares about security. And particularly, what I want to learn from you is what inspired you to really start this podcast, and what is your goal behind this?
Oh my God, this is an amazing question. I wish everyone will ask us the same question. Both me and Dimitri, and I'll speak on myself, and Dimitri will speak on himself. I personally saw so many different customers for the last 15 years. I've been working for VAR that not implementing the product fully. Is it buying the product and implementing one feature or not implementing it at all? And then they're complaining that the product doesn't work as they expected, or they're cutting on people that are deploying the product. So my vision is to help people choose the product they need, learn how to ask the correct questions to the vendors to make sure what they get it will be integrated in their environment. So this is my view.
I'll join Evgeny. I just want to say one word. All purpose of that, this is actually helping our audience to avoid security theater situations with solutions that they're buying and bringing in and integrating.
Yeah, I think that's fantastic. You know, I think what small history is, like about 12 years ago, I did my master's in computer security from Carnegie Mellon. And you know, and then I went back to the industry where, you know, software security at the time back in 2008 was not super hot, I want to say, particularly because most startups and most companies at the time were focusing on, you know, finance was a big thing back in 2008. You know, after the crash, there was a little bit of a change in the flow. And then application development became a big thing, hot, you know, Amazon, you know, social networks. And then once this whole, you know, Facebook data leak, the breaches happened, and one of my mentors and our advisors at Cloud Defense is Neil Daswani. And he wrote a book called Big Breaches, I think in 2020. And he was also my visiting professor back in Carnegie Mellon, who was really passionate about application security. And he was like, guys, you need to be really enthusiastic about being secure first. We was like, you know what? Security comes after development, right? Like, who cares? However, when he wrote the book and he showcased how every breach happened, because people deliberately have missed the steps or because they don't like to run all these security penetration testing, sometimes they cut things short because, you know, when I worked at LinkedIn, for example, and Amazon, pen testing was after the development cycle. You know, you finish the product and then you're ready to release. Now you have to do a penetration testing. Your senior management wants you to release right now because the customer wants the product. Your penetration testing guy is not allowing you to release it because it's not as good.
And they're busy.
And you make this call between, we're going to release because we're customer obsessed or we're customer first. And then you release and then you fix the problems, and which leads to all these security problems, right? And so I think this new hot thing about shift left security, ensuring that code is secure before you even you know, deploy it, is very, very interesting to me. And coming back to this area after 12 years of working in these big companies has just made me feel so excited that, in a way, we feel like we're trying to save the world one project at a time.
Maybe before we finish the recording, you can show the diagram and help us walk through.
So, yep, and right now, so I will quickly jump into you know, our problem statement that Cloud Defense really wanted to solve at first was that modern applications have so many attack surfaces that all these big companies have been really trying to find the best tool for different types of attack surfaces. You know, developer code has so many languages. Each language has different types of tools, you know, open source packages, and then you have layers on top of each other. Like, you know, you have compiled code followed by APIs. So Cloud Defense was like, you know what? All this is crazy. This is just too much work. How about we find a way to holistically provide a solution that can provide you one binary, one type of answer to all of these, and we really figure out what underneath is the actual tool, the tool behind the tool, or the format of the analysis that you want to see. Ultimately, you want to know, am I secure or not? Is my code secure or not? Is my web application secure or not? And an inclusive security, and I don't think we need this particular slide, but what I really like is this one. We are a single pane of glass. We don't say that we are great in SaaS or we're really good in SCA. If you compare us to the best SCA product, we may not be as good. But it's like, if you are only having a, you know, it's like if you went to war and you only put a vest on the front, but somebody comes and sucker punches you from the side, you're dead, right? So it's the point is holistic security, ensuring that you can never be 100% vulnerability free. But can you be as vulnerability free as possible in every attack surface? That's the goal of Cloud Defense, to ensure that we are adapting as fast as the market is and ensuring that we can secure you as fast as possible. And then one thing that it's kind of like this quick little dashboard, we call this the vulnerability management dashboard, where we show you your vulnerabilities by age, for various projects over time? You know, what is the representation distribution of your vulnerability? Is it SAST? Is it DAST? API? What kind of stuff? And then on the left side, we have all these management tools, like you can OSS license policies that we touched on for a moment, build policies, integration like GitHub, GitLab. You want to integrate with different types of build systems, you have the option to do so. And if you're a very developer-friendly person, you can also jump into our developer docs, start setting up some of your environments in accordance with how Cloud Defense works. I hope that kind of summarizes what Cloud Defense is in a nutshell.
Thank you. It was great having you here.
Yeah, thank you. I think it was fantastic. I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Abhi.
Please remember to subscribe to our podcast and join us for our next episode.